I'm going to be really upfront with you about something. I know next to nothing about cars. I'm one of the ones who calls in trying to explain their car problems to the mechanic, and I have to rely on my imitation noises and describing parts with not the steering properly aligned.
If you were here or not first semester, I thought a good place to begin this morning was to remember where we have been. Because we learned first semester who wrote the book of Genesis. I heard it. Moses. Moses wrote the book of Genesis during the 40 years Israel was wandering in the wilderness after their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Moses was readying God's people to enter the promised land, not under his leadership, long story, but under Joshua's leadership. Now, this land was inhabited by enemies. It was a land full of opposition. It was a land riddled with pagan worship. So Moses knew that taking possession would not be easy. There would be fierce battles, ups and downs, triumphs and defeats. So he wanted his beloved brothers and sisters to remember the very real events that had gotten them to this point. Moses wanted them to remember their roots. Who made them? Who loved them? And to whom they belonged? As they awaited possession of the promised land, Moses wanted his readers to remember who God is, and that come what may, God would be faithful to his promise to redeem and bless his people. And here is the amazing thing. Genesis was written by Moses approximately 3,500 years ago. But these God-breathed words can and will still breathe life into us today.
In his willing acceptance of God's sovereign plan, God's will to crush him in death, he proved himself worthy of the eternal office of great high priest. Not just that, he became the eternal source of salvation to all who obey him. His perfect fulfillment of the office of high priest means that salvation, eternal rest for your soul, forever delight in God, unending satisfaction in his presence, it's yours. It's yours if he is your advocate. It's yours if you submit yourself to him in obedience. It's yours if you persevere, even at great cost, until the end. His victory means confidence. His compassion means grace and mercy now. His perfect fulfillment means the promise of eternal salvation. So consider Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest. And then we embark on a warning that will stretch into chapter 6. We'll only touch on it today, but it's a fitting and sobering way to end. Verses 11 through 14 say this: "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is called a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." There is much more to say about the realities of Jesus as our great high priest. And yet the author cannot continue without a sobering blast of rebuke. There's so much more to the beauty of considering Jesus, but their ears aren't ready for it. Don't be an infant. Don't be the child that can't distinguish good from evil. Don't be the woman who throws out everything that she knows to be true for a more appealing message, or an easier life, or the approval of others. Fellow drifters, it is time for us to grow up, to submit ourselves again to the basic truths of the gospel. Feast abundantly on the word of righteousness. Dig deeply into the living, active word of God to train your powers of discernment. Keep growing and maturing stand firmly on the promises of God, the truth of our confession, the reality of the gospel. Because we're in dangerous territory when we don't. I leave myself vulnerable to deceit. Day going to swallow me up in judgment. Who is your representative before God? Your high priest. When judgment day comes, and the Bible promises that it is coming, who pleads your case before the holy God? Will it be you? Will you be smooth-talking your way through that trial? Will it be your good deeds? Will you be pushing a big old stack of kind words and generous acts before the throne? Or will it be Jesus, the one who Hebrews puts forward as the great high priest? If you've not placed your life into the bloody hands of Jesus, the Son of God, then no matter what you think you're standing on come judgment day, you will have no ground. He is the advocate who makes me able to approach God, not just on judgment day, but every day until then. And oh, how I need him. Every hour I need him. He is my one defense, and he is my righteousness. And I will fix my eyes on him, and by his grace, hold fast to that confession. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you poor and needy. And we give you great praise because as we come to you, we find a God who is slow to anger, who's abounding in steadfast love for us and faithfulness, who's full of mercy. Lord, we bow at the feet of Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest. In his name, amen.